Good evening, church. It's good to have you here tonight. We are still in our biblical doctrine studies that we've been doing, and we are now into the fifth installment of that. And what we are going to start to look at tonight is that of faith. faith is difficult to define for many. Faith is the inborn capacity to see God behind everything. The wonder that keeps you as an eternal child. I think it's no wonder then that we find in scriptures that Jesus tells us that unless we have the faith of a little child, we can by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so as it may be difficult, it's not impossible. Even though we may struggle with it, we may have a hard time verbalizing it of what it is. But over and over again, I can't ever help but think if we talk about our faith and we talk about faith in Christ, Romans 10:17 has to come up. So then our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. People say, well, I develop my faith this way, or I get my faith from this, or I get it from this. I'm letting you know here, scripture tells us this is how we get faith. It's from the word of God. And if we're getting it somewhere else, then we might be putting our faith into the wrong thing. Oswald Chambers, in his book entitled Run Today's Race, says, faith for my deliverance in any given trial is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick with my belief that God is love. And so many times people, when we come into circumstances that are hard in life and they don't go the way how can you have faith in God? Or they'll say, well, how did your, see where your faith got you now? But you have to remember things such as the faith-building stories of the Old Testament. I always look to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, they said, it doesn't matter if God gets us out of this or not. He is still God. Our faith is still in him. He is still supreme. He is still the ultimate love. And whether you see us get set free or not, that doesn't change what we're going to believe. That's what our faith is about. A survey conducted by the American Academy of Family Physicians shows that 99% of the doctors believe a relationship exists between faith and physical healing. Recently, more than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between spirituality and healing. Doctors' faith was bolstered by a California study of the effect of prayer on recovery from heart problems. About 200 patients were assigned to Christians who prayed for them, while an equal number, a control group, received no known prayers. Neither group knew about the prayers, yet those who received prayer developed half the complications that were experienced by those in the control group. A similar study done by Dartmouth Medical School examined the effect of prayer on healing. When the patients prayed for themselves, the death rate 6 months after bypass surgery was 9% for the general population, but 5% for those who prayed for their own healing. And none of the deeply religious patients died during the period of the study. So it's not just enough to pray. What they're saying is, do you have faith in what you're praying for? Do you have faith in your life of belief and who we believe that God is? want to look this evening at several verses here on how faith, how the word faith is used in the New Testament. First one is faith used as a term for Christianity. Someone may make reference to your faith. That's what they're talking about. Uses a term for Christianity. One of the terms faith is to identify the body of truth in which the believer trusts or as another term for Christianity. We are told to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to all in Jude 3. Galatians 1:23 says, "But only they kept hearing. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy." And so this is in Galatians when they're talking about when Paul's reflecting back on himself and telling the churches there, and it makes reference that he was preaching the faith. What's he preaching about then? Christianity. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8 specifically, remember Elymas, the wizard? He is trying to turn the proconsul from what? From the faith. Yeah, it's in passages like these, as well as many others, that might be looked at, and the word faith is used as a broad sense or a synonym of Christianity. For example, if we were to ask, what is your faith? You may get asked that, kids going into different maybe college programs, different things of that nature. You may be filling out a survey or something. And it may have down Roman Catholicism, it may have down, you know, Islam, the Islam faith, or Muslim, or is your faith Christianity? What is your faith that you have? And that's what the idea of that first one is that we're talking about. Faith in the second one is the descriptive of a life of a Christian. Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father." 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So this is a descriptive form of our Christian walk, our Christian faith, the life of a Christian. In these passages, it should be noted that the Christian lives by faith, works by faith. We walk by faith. The Christian truly lives by faith. We shared this a few weeks ago. Remember, that's why it's important for us as we look at 1 Corinthians, especially, so many of us look at chapter 13, but the funny thing about chapter 13 is that the chapter before that is chapter 12, and the chapter after that is chapter 14. It's kind of funny how that happens, right? And when it talks to us about hope, love, and faith, and the greatest of these is love, that's because in Christ, our hope becomes realized. Our faith becomes sight. The only thing that's going to last and that'll carry us over into heaven is what? Is the love of Christ. The other things are all done away with, and that's what Paul talks about. And that's why our life needs to be based on that, so that it gets us to where our ultimate desire is to be. Faith, then, as applied to the alien sinner. For one to become a Christian, a sinner must have faith, or as it is usually expressed, is to believe in Jesus. The end of our messages, when the first thing we go through as far as the plan of salvation, we talk about our faith, the faith that one needs to have, or their belief in Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:15-16 says this, "And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And so as we look at these, and that Acts 16:31, that's one of those passages of Scripture that so many people are going to try to talk to you and use that all out of context. And what they're going to do, and I remember back to a message that Ed Bousman brought years and years ago, but he says, if you look at that, every other verse that follows out in there, and you can go along and look into your Bible, all says, and, they were not, their faith, their belief in Jesus Christ led them to do something until it got to the final point where they were immersed for the forgiveness of their sins, him and his whole household. And so as we look at that, this is where the alien sinner has to have faith in Jesus Christ, in who he is. Both Jesus and Paul commanded faith or belief in Christ as an essential act in becoming a Christian. So many times we hear we're saved, you know, that, and we're saved by faith. And I believe that. We're told that in Scripture. But it's a faith that is acted upon. And that's what real faith is. And what we need to apply to our life. But as we said, Paul and Jesus both said that believing in Christ was an essential act in becoming a Christian. So now let's take a look at how faith is so necessary for one's salvation. So it's important for us to discuss, so what is faith? What is faith? I found this poem. It's hard for me to call it a poem when it doesn't rhyme, but that's okay. Maybe it was written in another language and lost something in translation. But the efforts are still there, and it's something for us to good to think about. What is faith is the title of this poem. Faith is dead to doubts, dumb to discouragements, blind to impossibilities, knows nothing but success. Faith lifts its head up through the threatening clouds, lays hold of him who has all power in heaven and on earth, and faith makes the uplook good, the outlook bright, the inlook favorable, and the future glorious. And so as we think of that, that's where our faith is in, all in, tied into that, and helps us, as I said, our faith is in something that we don't see. That is actually the biblical definition for faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. If you didn't think we were going to get there, we're there. Hebrews 11:1. I've got several different translations on the screen. Generally, being that I use the New American Standard, it says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The King James and the New King James read almost identical, if not identical. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Probably most of us, at least that's where, those are the ones I grew up memorizing, were those. Then I like the Bible in Basic English, where it says it like this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the sign that things not seen are true. And I can't ever talk about, and so if you've heard the story, just go ahead and laugh at the end when you hear it. Anyway, not before, afterwards. Now you made me forget Phil Young. I couldn't remember his name now. I remembered, I was going to say the gentleman who lived in Oblong, Illinois. I can remember where he lived. But Phil Young, for those that knew Phil Young, he told a story. I heard him doing a revival somewhere once, and he told the story about the days back when they would have the carry-in dinners at church, and not that we don't have carry-in dinners, but here's how the carry-in dinners worked when he was a little guy. Okay, and you got to understand, he was 90-plus years old when he passed away, and he's been dead for a few years now. So they would get together. All the men would go through and eat first, right? Then the ladies would go through, and then the children were allowed to go through. And he would remember all the women bringing in all the big baskets of fried chicken. And he said it never failed. He said he would always refer to it as the Hebrews 11:1 carry-ins. Because by the time he, as a little boy, got through the line, after all the men had ate, after all the women had loaded their plate up, he got to look into the pans that held the chicken, that were the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And all he would get would be the leftover breadcrumbs that fell off the breading that fell off the fried chicken. And so as we look at that, it's just a reminder to us, you have the anticipation. Your mouth is watering. You know what everybody else, you see the faith enacted. You see it there, but then when you get there and you put your head over the, you know, I can just imagine it as a little boy going to the table, pulling that over, looking in there, and it's empty. Does that mean there was nothing there? It was there, all right. Just not for him at that time. And so as we look at that, it's the substance of things hoped for, the sign that the things that not seen are true. He was reminded that that chicken was true because the breading, some of the breading was still in there. The author defines faith as the substance or the guarantee or the foundation of things for. It is also the evidence or conviction or the demonstrations of things not seen. Faith used in the objective case is the evidence or the guarantee on which the Christian's hope is founded. Now, I don't know for sure what George's class and how all of his lessons are going to go down. We've talked about a few of them that he's looking at here, but he's got the class on Sunday morning. What is it? After death, then what? What then? Well, you know, all we can really do is go by Jesus Christ and what he says, because he's the only one I know that's been dead and come back from it, tell us what it's like and let us know what that is that it's recorded of. And so we have to go by faith. None of us have ever been to heaven. We're planning on going to heaven. We want to go to heaven. We want to be there because of the things we're told that are there, namely, first and foremost, that's where Jesus is at, and that's why we want to be there. But we have a guarantee and assurance of it. But it's going to be one of those things. That's why it's called faith. We won't know until it ends. Was it all a farce? Do we not know? Is it all going to be, oh boy, you guys were duped? You know? I believe not. But to tell you exactly what it is, I can only go by faith and what I'm told through scriptures. Once again, I base that on the Word of God. Used in the subjective sense, assurance or reliance enables the... skipped a line. Used in the subjective sense, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Such assurance or reliance... I'm going to do what I did this morning and preach the wrong thing at the wrong time. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Such assurance or reliance enables the believer to treat the future as though it were the present and the invisible as though it is seen. It is not complete knowledge which one day we have, but is in the present and then, but is that firm assurance that keeps us faithful to the end. Hebrews 11:1 aptly shows us that true faith, as illustrated by Abraham, as Moses, Rahab, and others, was simply a reliance upon God, whom they believed to be trustworthy. Remember, we made mention of the article at the beginning, and the name of that article was The Doctor's Faith on Faith, or in Faith. The Doctor's Faith in Faith. Our faith is in God. So when we talk about these things, and it's a reminder to us, Abraham and Moses and those others, that they had faith in God because he was found trustworthy. Abraham right away was not, as we did our study on him for several weeks, he struggled along the way. There were many times that he doubted. There was many times that he didn't see the outcome. He didn't have the faith that it produced. But as God continued to take care of him and God was found trustworthy, Abraham's faith in his faith grew. And so that's what we're talking about, that we find God to be trustworthy. It's not about us. It is about him. And then we simply believe him. Another word which perhaps the nature of faith more correctly is the word trust. Faith is used in a general sense may mean simply an acceptance of certain facts or principles as being true. For example, one may believe that George Washington lived, but there would be no element of trust in him as a person. Christian faith not only is persuaded of certain facts concerning Christ, but there is the added element of trust in him as our Lord and Savior. The example of Abraham's faith given illustrates the element of trust. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21 says, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he," that's Abraham, "did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." Abraham was so strong through faith because he was fully assured that God would fulfill his promise and give him a son. He trusted God so completely then that he believed that, remember as we talked about this in a couple different weeks in our Abraham series, that even if Isaac was sacrificed, if Isaac had to be killed, according to God's command, Abraham did not doubt and had faith that God would bring him back to life, because God said this is what would happen, that it would be through the promised son, Isaac, that all these, especially the spiritual blessings, would come to the world. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 is a reminder of that to us. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son." See, he who had received the promises, he's already found God to be trustworthy. God can be counted on. Was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. And so as we get into our last point here this evening, so how do we obtain faith? How do we obtain faith? I shared that with you at the beginning of the lesson because I feel that's the important thing for Christians to remember, and we'll get to it again, but is Romans 10:17. Many people view anything religious as mysterious. In fact, the more mysterious it appears, sometimes the more appeal it has to some people. There are always some aspects of faith that man cannot fully understand. That's why it's called faith. Had a young lady come into my office the other day. It was Thursday. No, it must have been Friday. And she was asking several really good questions. She's a new girl to the school, and she was asking, you know, so how do we know that God has always been? And she then, you know, asked, how do we know, you know, if God created the world, then where did he come from? And I explained to her that these were good questions, and I explained to her that I said my Sunday night sermon that I'm working on actually works a lot along with a lot of your questions, and we can be given evidences, but sometimes, remember as we started off talking about having the faith of a child, and kids ask a lot of questions, don't get me wrong. But they also sometimes, when you ask a question and you say it, then they'll be like, oh, okay. You may have just lied through your teeth to them, but they put their faith in you to tell them the truth. God doesn't lie to us. And I told her, as I said, we need to look into God's word for the answers that you're looking for, that God has always been. And then we got talking about the Godhead, and which we had covered in our high school Bible class, talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit along with the Father. And that's how we develop our faith, is through what we read in scriptures. We can give you wonderful stories. We can give you heart-wrenching anecdotes. But the fact of the matter is, your faith needs to be based on what the Word of God says, not some heartfelt story. Because as we said, sometimes the mysterious really appeals to people. The how in which faith is produced in man's heart is a rational and intelligent process. Christian faith is produced in a similar way as any other faith. For example, how is faith in any historical character produced? We already talked a little bit about George Washington. It's produced by evidence and testimony that is convincing to the mind. We believe that George Washington lived because of the many books written about him, monuments built to him, and other evidence that he lived. How may one be led to believe in or trust a doctor? Evidently, he must have received testimony and evidence to generate such faith and confidence. Faith in Christ is produced in the same way. The Christian accepts as true the abundant evidence in the Bible that Christ lived and is the Messiah and is the Son of God as he claimed to be. For if Jesus is not what he claimed to be, remember that was one of the biggest deals that the Pharisees had with him, was him claiming to be the Son of God. If he wasn't that, if he's not that, then we are all here wasting our time. But we have faith that he is what he says he is, that it's true. God appeals to the mind of man in a sensible and intelligent manner. Faith results from an acceptance of testimony or evidence. As we've used before, and I can't think of the author's name right now, but wrote all the Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, wrote all the Case for Christ books. But when we look at those and you know, somebody sets out to prove that Jesus did not exist and then becomes a Christian because of all the evidence, therefore it's a reminder to us on how trustworthy he really is. And so as we look at that, the scripture very clearly indicates that faith is produced by the acceptance of evidence concerning Christ. Now, here's an important thing for us to remember on that. It's on the accepting of the evidence. Because there are times, there are people that you're going to talk with, that you may have a great deal of discussion with, and they will not accept the evidence. Hebrews 11:1, talking about the evidence. Romans 10:17, where we get that faith in that evidence. John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47 says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me." This is where Jesus is slapping him in the face. If you believed Moses, and what he's really saying is, you didn't believe Moses, because then you'd believe me. And if you don't believe me, then what you're saying is you didn't believe Moses. And you guys are all claiming that he, you know, him and Abraham, you know, Abraham, the father of faith, and Moses, the lawgiver, that everybody that you think that you should be and you're here because of, if you'd believe Moses, then you'd believe me. Because he wrote about me. How do we base our faith? How do we receive our faith? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Moses was inspired by God to write down what he had wrote. Verse 47, but if you do not believe his writings, then how will you believe my words? Jesus is saying, if you're having trouble doing what Moses has asked you to do in action or in thought, in capacity of carrying it out, then you're not going to listen to what I say. John 20, verse 30 and 31, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing or having faith or trust, you may have life in his name. Acts 15, 7, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. How would they base their faith? How would they receive their faith? By the word of God. What he was saying there, Peter was saying, is remember when Jesus said that I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom? And that's exactly what Peter did, was given. Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter was also asked to come up and talk to Cornelius and bring the message to them. Once again, that was a message from God, by God, about God, for God, all about the things of Jesus Christ. The passages make it perfectly clear that Christian faith, like all other faith, must rest on testimony, on things that people said. Do you find the people that present it believable? That's why somebody can come and bring the most convincing testimony in a court of law, but in his own life, he's a scoundrel and a thief and everything, and it may make that true testimony a little, suspect. Good word there, George. It might make it a little suspect in your belief. And so what is that telling us then? That our testimony and our life needs to line up. Paul makes it crystal clear how faith is produced. We've referenced it several times tonight, and now you have it on the board. Romans 10, 16 and 17. However, they did not all heed the good news. Once again, God's word. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. That faith is a result of testimony. It's proven both by the voice of reason and the voice of inspiration. One famous preacher of years gone by said, have been reported saying this early in his life as a preacher. I've really been thinking about that this week after I read this. He prayed often that God would give him faith. Well, and as you see this and you think of that, that's not anything wrong, right? Because the disciples didn't say, give us faith. What did they pray for? To increase our faith. This preacher used to pray, give me faith. The disciples said, increase our faith, right? So he would pray that God would give him faith. And one day he was reading this passage, Romans 10, 17, and suddenly it dawned on him, as I hope it does us, that he had been seeking faith in the wrong way. He now realized that we all need to as well, that God has already told us how to obtain faith. It's not a hidden secret. It's not hiding under a rock. It's not out in the middle of a wood somewhere. He has told us. Then the preacher began to search the Word of God diligently, reading God's gracious promises and striving to accept them. As he read what God had done for Abraham, Moses, David, and others, his confidence grew. He concluded that God was the same God now as he is then. Isn't that neat how the Bible changes our ways of thinking instead of we changing what the Bible says? The more he read and filled his mind with the evidence of God's faithfulness, the greater his confidence increased in the promises of God. His faith was increased in complete accord with the way God has promised that it should be. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God, or the word of Christ. You want faith this evening? It takes a belief in Jesus Christ for that to happen. As we said, that's the first step in salvation. Believe who Jesus is. Believe that he is the Son of God. John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That you repent, Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I tell you that you need to confess Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32. Therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Be immersed, Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned, and then be faithful. Be faithful. God is faithful. We are to be found faithful. We put our faith in him. That's how it all starts off. Then be faithful till the end, and I will give you the crown of life. If you're here tonight and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. Put your faith in him. Find him trustworthy. Read the word of God. Believe the testimonies of those that were there with him. It'll pass the acid test. And we then can begin that walk of faith in our faith in Jesus Christ. Will you stand with us?